His mentors decided to begin Unther's life review in the library with a scene from his childhood in a play yard. Dr. N, when you return to the spirit world, Unther, is there some highlight of your past life review that you particularly remember and would like to tell me about? S, after I have time to visit with my group for a while, my guide, Photanius, escorts me to the library for some private study while my past life is still very fresh. Dr. N, is this the only time you will come here? S, oh, no. We often come here by ourselves to study. It is also a way to prepare for the next life too. I will study vocations and avocations for the new life in light of my objectives, to see if they fit. Dr. N, all right, let's move into the library. Please describe everything you see in the order that you see it. S, the room is in a large, rectangular building. Everything is a glowing, transparent white. The walls are lined with big thick books. Dr. N, has Photanius brought you here? S, just in the beginning. Now I am with the woman with pure white hair who has met me. Her face is very reassuring. The first thing I notice when I enter are the long rows of tables that stretch off so far into the distance I can't see where they end. I see many people sitting at the long tables looking at the books in front of them. The people studying are not too close to one another. Dr. N, why is that? S, oh, not facing each other is a matter of courtesy and respect for privacy. Dr. N, please go on. S, my librarian looks so scholarly. We call these people the scholastics, to others they are archivists. She moves to a nearby wall section and pulls down a book. I know these are my records, in a faraway voice, they contain stories which have been told and those that are untold. Dr. N, with some levity. Do you have your library card? S, laughs, no cards are required, just mental attunement. Dr. N, do you have more than one life book assigned to you? S, yes, and this is the one I will use today. The books are stacked in order on the shelves. I know where mine are and they glow when I look at them from a distance. Dr. N, could you go into the stacks yourself? S, no, but I think the older ones do. Dr. N, so at this moment the librarian has brought you the book you are supposed to study? S, yes, there are large pedestals positioned near the tables. The scholastic opens the page where I am to begin. Note, we are now at the stage when each case takes on a unique quality of personal engagement with the life book screens. The conscious mind may or may not be able to translate into human language what the superconscious mind fully sees in the library. Dr. N. Then she is getting you started at the pedestal before you take this book to a table by yourself? S. Yes, I am looking at a page with writing, gold lettering. Dr. N. Can you read this writing for me? S. No, I can't translate it now, but it identifies that it is my book. Dr. N. Can't you make out even one word? Look closely. S. Pause. I. See the Greek pi symbol, TT. Dr. N. Is this symbolic of a letter in the Greek alphabet or does it have a mathematical significance for you? S. I think it has to do with ratios. How one thing relates to another to me. The writing is a language of motion and emotion. You feel the writing as musical vibrations. These symbols represent the causes and effects of a set of proportional relationships between similar and dissimilar circumstances in my lives. There is more. But I can't. Stops. Dr. N, thank you for that. Now, tell me, what you are going to do with this book. S. Before I carry it down to an empty space at one of the tables, we are going to do an exercise together. The writing symbols tell us where to turn the pages, but I can't tell you how, I don't know how to explain it. Dr. N, don't worry about that. You are doing a fine job with explanations. Just tell me how the librarian helps you. S, takes a deep breath. We turn to a page which shows me as a child playing in my schoolyard. Subject now begins to shake. This isn't going to be fun. I'm directed to the time when I was a mean, rotten kid. 1 a.m. supposed to experience this again, Something they want me to see, a part of my energy, crawls into the page itself, Dr. N, encouraging, all right, let the scene unfold and tell me all you can. S, squirming in his chair, after I, crawl into the book, I am totally engaged with the scene in every respect as if it was being replayed all over again. I'm, in grade school. 1 a.m. a tough kid who picks on the smaller, less aggressive boys, punching them and throwing rocks at everybody when the schoolyard monitors aren't looking. And then, oh, no. Dr. N, what's happening? S, alarmed, oh, for God's sake. Now, 1 a.m. the smallest kid in the yard and I'm being punched by me. This is incredible. After a while I am me again, being pelted by rocks from everyone else. Ow, this really hurts. Dr. N, after quieting the subject down and moving him totally back into the library, were you in the same time frame as you were as a child or in a form of altered reality? S, pause, in the same time, with altered reality. None of this happened in my early life, but it should have. So the time has been played back to me in a different way. We can relive an event to see if we can get it better. I felt the pain I inflicted upon others by my bullying. Dr. N, answer, what have you learned from all this? S, long pause, that I was an angry kid driven by fear of my dad. Those are the scenes 1 a.m. going to do next. I am working on compassion and learning to control my rebellious nature as a soul. Dr. N, what is the significance of your life book and being in this whole library atmosphere? S, by studying my book I am able to recognize mistakes and experience alternatives. Being in this quiet study area, watching all the other souls at the tables doing the same thing, well, it gives me a feeling of camaraderie with them and all we are going through together. Later in our session we discovered that Unther needed self-discipline and to be more considerate of people. This had been a pattern of conduct over many lives. When I asked if it was possible to study future lives in the library I received this answer. Yes, we can scan a variety of possibilities here on the timelines, but future events are very indeterminate and this is not the space where I would make any decisions about what is to come. When I hear statements such as this I do think of parallel universes where all possibilities and probabilities can be examined. In this scenario, the same event could occur from a slight to radically altered range on the same timeline in multiple spaces and you would exist in many universes simultaneously. Yet, the source of all space-time might well employ alternate realities without parallel universes. In later chapters, I will cite reports of multiple universes around us which are not duplicates of our universe. In the spirit world, souls watching the orchestrated screens seem to move from past to present to future and back simultaneously in the same space. When souls are in the library, I'm told certain event sequences of the future may look shadowy on some lines and almost disappear. On the other hand, in the classrooms with larger screens, and especially in the place of life selection, which has huge panel screens, the timelines are bolder. This allows for easier scanning and entry by the soul for future life study. Newer souls must acquire these skills by learning to blend their light waves with the lines on the screens. By concentrating their essence in this way, images come into focus that pertain to them. The timelines on the screens move back and forth, crossing one another as resonating waves of probability and possibility from the now time of the spirit world where past and future are joined and all is knowable. Cases 29 and 30, as with all my cases, raise the question of what true reality is. Are classrooms and the library with viewing screens of past and future time real 7? Everything I know about our life after death is based upon the observations of people. The observer communicates to me in trance from their soul mind through the brain. It is the observer who defines the properties of matter and ethereal substance both on earth and in the spirit world. Consider the last case. Unther told me he cannot change his past by a second time around visitation. Yet after death he returned to the playground of his childhood as an active participant. Once again he was a boy playing with other children with all the sights, sounds, smells and feelings connected to that event. Some of my clients say these are simulated events, but are they? Anther became part of the scene where he bullied children and then was attacked by them. He could feel the hurt and squirmed in my office chair from pain he had not received in the timeline of this boyhood. Who is to say an altered reality does not simultaneously exist for all events, where both origins and outcomes are interchangeable? The observer soul may work with many realities at a time in the spirit world while studying. All are placed in the soul's path to teach. We question whether our universe is all an illusion. If eternal thoughts of the soul are represented by intelligent light energy that is timeless and formless, it is not restricted by matter in our universe. Thus, if a cosmic consciousness controls what the observed mind sees on Earth, the whole concept of cause and effect within given time intervals is a manipulated illusion designed to train us. Even if we believe that everything we think is real is an illusion, life is anything but meaningless. We know if we hold a rock in our hand, it is as real to us as an observer participant in a physical world. We must also keep in mind that a divine intelligence placed us in this environment to learn and grow for a greater good. None of us are here by accident, and neither are those events which affect us in our own reality at this moment in time. Colors of spirits, the mixture of colors in soul groups, when people in trance mentally leave the spaces of energy rejuvenation, orientation and the library to engage actively with other souls, their contrasting colors become more evident. One aspect of understanding the dynamics of cluster groups is the identification of each soul by color. In Journey of Souls, I described my findings about the energy colors of souls. What one want to do in this section is to try to correct some misconceptions people have regarding color recognition. During the course of my explanations, it might be helpful to readers who have my first book to compare figure 3 in Journey of Souls with figure 6 in this section. In figure 6,1 have charted the full spectrum range of core colors that identify the level of soul development as seen by subjects in deep hypnosis. More importantly, I have attempted to indicate the subtle overlaps and mixes of energy colors within these levels. The basic core colors of white, yellow and blue generated by souls are the major markers of their growing development. As their light waves take on deeper hues from light to dark during advancement, they become less scattered and have greater focus in their vibrational motion. The transition is slow and there is much spilling over of color tints as souls develop. Because of this, it is restrictive to lay down hard definitive rules about color transmission. Referring to figure 6, box 1, we see the pure white tones reflected in beginner souls. It is a mark of innocence, and yet this color can be seen throughout the spectrum for all souls. The universal color of white will be explained further in the next case. White is often associated with the halo effect. Guides, for instance, may suddenly charge up their normally intense, steady light and surround themselves with a brilliant white halo. Souls returning to the spirit world often tell me that when they notice any soul coming toward them from a distance, they see white light. Souls whose core level of development are in boxes 1,5, 9, and 11 are usually seen with no overlapping of other color tints in the center of their energy mass. I don't see many clients exclusively displaying the colors shown in box 7. This may indicate we need more healers on Earth. One have never had a subject whose energy is totally in the violet, purple range in box 11. The color range is beyond level via ascended masters who do not appear to be incarnating, so the little I know about them comes only from my subject's observations. There are individual variables within each soul cluster group in terms of their basic core color because they are not all developing at the same rate. However, a soul's energy color may also be affected by another factor, which initially confused me. Besides the primary core colors indicating the stage of overall development, certain souls carry secondary colors. These have been called halo colors because they usually appear to the observer to be outside the core center of a soul's energy mass. Halo colors are undiluted by tints or shades of other colors, as can be the case with central core colors. The only exception here would be if the halo and core color were exactly the same. Reports from my subjects in distinguishing colors are made easier because this overlaying effect is not often seen. The halo colors represent attitudes, beliefs, and even unattained aspirations of the soul. Because they are learned in each life, the halo tints may fluctuate more quickly between lives than the core colors, which display a slower development of character. During a hypnosis session, these secondary halo colors are like flashing self-portraits the moment the observer sees them. Case 31, a highly advanced level V, will describe this effect. This individual was among a group of clients who helped me decipher the color coding of halos. Case 31, Dr. N, if I were standing in front of you in the spirit world holding up a full-length mirror, what colors would we see? S. You would see a light blue center with goldish white at the edges of my energy, my halo. Dr. N, and when you look at your master teacher, what does his energy look like? S. Klander has a dark blue center, working outward to a pale violet, crowned with an edge halo of white. Dr. N, what do core energy and halo energy mean to you? S. Klander radiates the solid state of his learning experience at the center of his energy, while the violet trim is his advancing wisdom from that knowledge. The white transmits that wisdom. Dr. N, eventually, what do you think Klander's core center will be and how will it appear? S. The deep violet of divine spirituality radiating from all positions in his energy mass. Dr. N, can you define the difference between core and halo color variations in soul energy? S. The central core represents accomplishment. Dr. N, such as the light blue in your own energy, this would be your present learning attainment? S. Yes. Dr. N, and the edges, the halos, your own goldish white, what can you say about that? S. Pause. Ah, my attributes, well, I have always tried to watch out for other people in my lives, this is who I am, but it is also what one wish to become. Rather, I should say, I want to strive to grow stronger in this aspect. Dr. N, you are not a beginner soul and yet you display some white in your energy. I'm curious about this bright white halo ring around so many souls with other colors to their energy. S. The vibrancy of white energy indicates we are able to meld our vibrations easily with all others, souls, for clear communication. Dr. N, I suppose this is why teacher guides often display bright white halos, but how does this white differ from the solid white light of a young soul? S. White represents the energy color base for all souls. It is the shading of white with other color mixtures which identify each soul. White is very receptive energy. The newer ones are receiving vibrations in great quantities while teachers are sending information in large amounts to be absorbed as uncluttered truths. Dr. N, and the beginner soul has had so little experience you don't visualize any other colors except white. S, that's correct, they are undeveloped. Although there is much I don't know about the entire matrix of soul energy color, I have learned that changes in color cores become much less evident after level 4. Over many years of research, I have kept a record of what people have told me about these secondary halo colors. The major colors each have their own range of attributes. Over 90% of my subjects agree on the qualities these colors represent in a soul. I have condensed what I have learned into three of the most commonly reported character traits for each color without regard to shade variations. Black is either tainted, damaged, or defiled negative soul energy, which is generally seen in the soul restoration centers. White, purity, clarity, restlessness. Silver, ethereal, trust, flexibility. Red, passion, intensity, sensitivity. Orange, exuberant, impulsive, openness. Yellow, protective, strength, courage. Green, healing, nurturing, compassion. Brown, grounded, tolerant, industrious. Blue, knowledge, forgiveness, revelation. Purple, wisdom, truth, divinity. In the next chapter there will be other spiritual references to the significance of colors. This pertains to the colored garments council members wear as perceived by the souls who come before them. In addition, I will show how the designs of certain emblems worn by these elders, some of which are gemstones, convey certain meanings through color. Figure 7 is a representation of a level 2 soul group displaying both core and halo colors. I have deliberately avoided charting a case where the same core color of development also appears as a halo color. To avoid confusion, figure 7 shows no white, yellow, or solid blue halos. There are 12 members of this primary soul group, including my subject, a level 2 male. The diagram indicates relationships of family members in their current incarnation. A more typical primary soul group would not all incarnate in one family. Under hypnosis, this subject, 3B, is looking at the 11 souls in his primary group who are members of his current family in this life plus a best friend. His sister has a core color that is almost solid yellow because she is moving into level 3. If she also had a strong protective side to her of yellow, instead of the blue, knowledge, that she actually has, it would have been harder for my subject to report that fact based on color alone because her halo and core color would have been nearly the same. Besides his sister, other aspects of figure 7 indicate that the subject's grandparents and son are slightly more advanced than other members, while his father and aunt are slightly less so. The grandfather and mother of this family are healers. Note that almost half the group have no secondary halo colors. It is not at all unusual for me to encounter groups with none. My subject's bright red halo over an energy core, mass of white and reddish pink confirmed his fiery, intense nature. His son in this life has similar behavioral traits. His wife is more contemplative, with an open, trustful nature. His daughter is non-judgmental and very spiritual. When I asked this subject to give me his thoughts about the red in his energy, here is what he had to say: because of my intense nature, I have a problem with anger in my lives. I often choose bodies which are high-strung emotionally because they match my character. I don't like passive bodies. My guide doesn't mind these choices because she says I will learn to control myself by relaxing the brain of these bodies. This sort of control is hard because of my own impulsive reactions and passion in difficult situations. It has taken many centuries of past lives, but I am getting better at self-discipline. In the past I have too easily entered into aggression and now this is slowly changing. I also have the help of my soulmate, current wife. This chart indicates the currently incarnated relatives and one friend of subject 3B. The boxes for each relative are keyed to figure 6 for both core and halo colors. Numbered boxes 2, 3, 4, and 5 are primary core colors. Lettered boxes A, B, C, and D are secondary halo colors displayed by group members. It sometimes happens that one will encounter souls who are anomalies in the way their development progresses. This becomes evident to me when clients describe souls in their groups with core colors that seem out of place. A prime example is the white lights of younger souls. The following case involves a group of level 3 to 4 souls. I had just finished reviewing all the yellow-blue members of this group when this subject disclosed there was a soul who was mostly white standing next to her. Case 32, Dr. N. What is a white light doing in your group of advanced souls? S. Lavani is in training with us because of her gifts. It was decided that although she is young, without much experience, she should not be held back. Dr. N. Isn't Lavani rather lost in your group? How can she keep up? S. She is being tested right now and, to be honest, Lavani is a little overwhelmed. Dr. N. Why was she assigned to your group? S. Our group is rather unusual because we have a high tolerance for working with inexperienced souls. Most groups of our type are so busy they would probably ignore her. I'm not saying they would be unkind, but after all she is still a child and looks to us like a child with her small, wispy energy patterns. Dr. N. I suppose most advanced groups would not want this responsibility. S. Quite right. Developing groups are very absorbed with their own work. To a child, they can appear almost disdainful. Dr. N. then explained to me why Lavani's guide permitted her to come over here with your people. S. Lavani has great talent. We are a group of quick learners and our lives have been immensely difficult and fast-paced. My subject has only spent 1,600 years on Earth. Despite our rapid advancement, we have a reputation for being very modest, some say, overly so. We are studying to be teachers of children and Lavani is good for us, too. Dr. N., I am very puzzled by this. Has Lavani been cut off from association with her own group at this early stage of her existence? S., oh my, no. Where did you get that idea? She is with her own group most of the time, laughs, and they do not know about her adventures with us. It is better that way. Dr. N., why? S., oh, they might tease her and ask too many questions. She is very attached to them and we want Lavani to have a normal association with her own friends even though we know she will be moving out of her group early because of her gifts. They are not yet motivated by the same desire. Dr. N., well, if souls are telepathic and know everything about each other, I don't see how Lavani could hide all this from her friends. S., it is true the whites are not able to set up blocks as we do about certain private things. Lavani has been taught to do this. I told you she had potential, pause, and then adds, of course, everyone respects the private thoughts of others. It is not uncommon to find that when souls such as Case 32 do incarnate, the younger souls they are working with ask to be their children in life. Lavani is the child of this subject today. The reverse may also be true where it is the child who is the advanced soul living with the parent having the younger soul. There are instances when I hear about a soul whose color is described as being in retrograde. Most of us in our existence have slipped backward after some lives, but when our color regresses to any great extent it is due to a condition that is both serious and prolonged. Here is a statement from one client which carries a poignant message for all of us. It's a shame about Clarice. His green used to be so brilliant. He was a great healer who became corrupted by power. For Clarice things were almost too easy, he was so talented. His downhill slide happened over a number of lives involving many abuses. He loved the veneration and adulation so much, his vanity became a disguise from himself. Clarice began losing his gifts and we noticed his color fading and growing more muted. Finally, Clarice became so ineffective he was sent down for retraining. We all expect he will eventually come back. Colors of visitors in groups. Once in a while I hear that a color presentation from one or two souls in a group appears to be out of place with everybody else. I have learned, this may signify temporary visits by a highly specialized guest or a soul from a nearby group. Once in a while, I hear about a visitation by an interdimensional traveler whose experience far exceeds that of the group. I have a condensed quote from an interesting report about such visitors. When we look at advanced beings who come to visit our group through other dimensions that are not familiar to us, it is like they have passed through a screen, which we call the lens of light, to reach us. They come once in a while at the invitation of our guide, Joshua, because they are friends of his. We see these souls as having the silver of flowing water as they pass in front of us. To us the silver stream is a cloak of passage, the purity of a translucent interdimensional intelligence. They are elastic beings with the ability to pass through many physical and mental spheres and function well. They come to help push away the darkness of our ignorance, but these beautiful beings never stay long. I should add that these colorful characters who briefly appear in soul groups have a profound effect. In the case above, when I asked my client to give a specific example of an insight gained from the teachings by these silvery beings, I was told, they widen our vision to see more probabilities in making choices by becoming astute at reading people. This skill develops critical thinking and allows for informed decisions based upon larger truths. Human versus soul color auras. There is another misconception about color I have encountered since Journey of Souls was published. Many people seek to find comparisons between my color classifications with souls and that of human auras. I believe these assumptions can lead to the wrong conclusions. Color and energy vibrations are closely linked in souls and are reflective of the non-material environment of the spirit world.